Here we go, episode 71 of Second Half Sports. Clearly, this is a Newbar or Cameron's voice. This is the Johnny Boy. This is my normal voice. Gonna get rolling right into the episode. So, no Newbar, just Cameron. And me, of course. So, I guess that's the intro.
Here we go!
You're listening to Second Half Sports, the leading sports podcast show, where raw opinions, hot takes, and bold predictions are a staple. Brought to you from the Rose City of Portland, Oregon. Now, here are your hosts, Cameron Sissel and Newbar Akparian, in 3, 2, 1.
All right, you heard Johnny Boy before the intro, so here it is, episode 71. Just like he said, no Newbar this week. He had a work meeting that he had to fly to and attend to. So it's just me this week and Johnny Boy, just like you heard. Episode 71, this episode is called All Rise. We will get to why it is called that here in a second. But for starters, introductions, kind of already told you what Newbar's been up to. I have not been up to a whole lot. Just kind of, you know, a lot of work stuff, hanging out with the boys. I just went and saw our buddy Nate. He moved back from California, moved up to Seattle this last weekend. So I went and saw him, went to a Seattle Kraken game, which is the NHL team that just joined the league last year. So that was a lot of fun. They got demolished 5-1, so that wasn't fun. But yeah, besides that, just kicking it another week. Newbar was upset that he couldn't be here, but we're going to try to hold down the fort, and he will be back next week better and stronger than ever. Other than that, yeah, a lot of things to tend to. This will be a little bit quicker of an episode, but let's get right into it. Johnny Boy?
MLB News.
All right, MLB news, there's a lot going on. Right now we're having winter meetings. There's a lot of off-season signings. So we're going to go through a lot of those right now. First off, Trey Turner, superstar shortstop, was with the Dodgers most recently, just signed with the not NL Champs, but they went to the NL Championship Series. No, they are the NL champs. I'm an idiot. So they, Trey Turner, formerly with the Dodgers, went to the NL champs, Philadelphia Phillies, rejoins Bryce Harper, I should say, as they played together in the in DC with the Nationals. He signs an 11-year, $300 million deal. A lot of these deals that I'm gonna say, I mean, are just insanely long deals. And they're also a lot of money. I mean, these are higher end names. There's still a lot of pieces that haven't fallen, in the MLB free agency pool, but, these are some good ones that have already started here in the first handful of days of, signing. So Trey Turner to the Phillies, huge for them, big acquisition. We'll see if that can propel them even further next season. Biggest one, and this is why it is the name of the episode, All Rise, Aaron Judge. Decides to stay in New York, play for the Yankees, signs a 9-year, $360 million contract, was rumored to go to the Padres or the Giants as well. The Padres offered him more money. They offered him $400 million, which is $40 million more than he actually accepted with New York. But he chooses to stay with the team that brought him up. And you know, there's going to be a lot of criticism of this agreement. There's going to be a lot of criticism of, you know, not taking more money, or, you know, if New York doesn't go and win the World Series here in the next 9 years of the, you know, decade, it's going to be a loss of a contract. But interesting to say the least that the Padres offered him $40 million more dollars and he still turned that down. The other interesting thing was yesterday, which was Tuesday the 6th, it was reported, breaking news, that he agreed to a deal with the San Francisco Giants, and that actually was a false report. Somebody preemptively, kind of jumped the gun and reported that. So that was kind of funny because everybody was roasting him. So Aaron Judge stays with New York 9 years, 360 mil, turns down 40 more million with the Padres. We'll see how that works out for him, but that's probably the biggest signing so far of this offseason. Continuing on, San Francisco Giants, they sign Mitch Haniger. He leaves the Seattle Mariners and signs a three-year, $43.5 million deal with the Giants. Still a pretty big pickup for them. They go sign him since they didn't get Aaron Judge. Pretty good bat, pretty good outfielder. He's not gonna be an all-star, but he's a solid, solid player. So continuing on with outfielders, Cubs sign Cody Bellinger, former MVP from the Los Angeles Dodgers. They sign him to a one-year, $17.5 million deal. Pretty big bat. Hopefully, if he can get back on track and get back to his MVP ways, kind of has had some ups and downs and, you know, lost a little bit of his touch the last year and a half. So see if he can get back on track in Chicago. The Mets, huge deal here. They sign ace Justin Verlander, steal him from the Astros to a two-year, $86 million deal, which is huge. Another pitcher, domino that fell, Rangers steal Jacob DeGrom and sign him. They steal him from the New York Mets. They sign him to a five-year, $185 million deal. Huge signing for them. They've spent so much money in the last two, 3 years. So it'll be interesting to see how those, you know, acquisitions in the last couple of years can maybe start to point them in the right direction in the win column in an already tough division with the Mariners and the Astros getting significantly better, obviously, as well. So speaking of the Mariners, the Brewers trade second baseman Colton Wong to the Mariners for outfielder Jesse Winker and infielder Abraham Toro. Sad to see Abraham Toro go. Jesse Winker, you know, great player, but a lot of news that came out of the Seattle locker room was that he was kind of a cancer to the locker room. So, and he wasn't, you know, he didn't play to the all-star caliber that we were expecting this season. So you always kind of think about, oh, well, he could have turned it, you know, gotten better next year, but I'm happy getting a better second baseman, Colton Wong, an established guy who can come in and make an immediate impact. We have a lot of outfielders, young guys that can come in and step in anyway. So, you know, let's keep building, keep staying young in that position and boost our infield as well, boost our bats. And hopefully that can improve us as well in the win column. So right now, that is all I have for MLB news updates. There's some more signings, but these were the biggest names. So just to continue on and keep things rolling here today, we're going to get right into
NBA news.
All right. So if you're wondering why Johnny Boy's voice, you know, sounds better in the transitions and sounds like his actual transition voice, it's because it is. His regular voice when he's not doing transitions is what you heard at the beginning. So that's about that. So here we go. NBA news. There's not a whole lot of like NBA, just like quick hitter bullet points. So we're going to go right into hot and cold. We're going to go right into NBA power rankings. We're going to chat about that for a little bit, and then we're going to move on into the NFL. It's pretty, like I said, pretty quick episode today. Everything's been pretty status quo in the sports world here the last week. So who's been hot in the NBA? The Pelicans have been hot. You know, CJ McCollum, Zion Williamson, and Brandon Ingram, they're holding it down over there. Nola, they are, you know, the whole culture has changed in New Orleans. They're second seed in the West, 15-8. You know, they score a lot of points. They play great defense. They're lengthy. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. They're on an absolute tear right now. The other team that's going to surprise, you know, some people, if you don't watch the NBA, but you just, you know, you still kind of follow it. And you know, it's a bummer that Nubar's not here to talk about it, but the Lakers have been playing a lot better. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. LeBron's been playing better. He just came back off of an injury. I think he missed like one or two games. Anthony Davis has been balling. He got injured last night, though. So they beat the Bucks. He dropped like 40. He dropped 55 on, I think, like the Pacers or something. I don't even know who he dropped 55 on, but he looks good. So the Lakers are moving up in my hot rankings. And the Sacramento Kings, 13-9, 7-3 in their last 10. They've won three in a row. Their offense is good. Their defense is okay, but they score a lot of points, so that keeps them in games and usually wins them so far this season. But they are playing extremely well as well. They've moved all the way up to the 4 seed in the West, so I have to throw them there on my hot teams. Cold teams of the week. Here we go. Indiana Pacers. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. They don't score a ton of points compared to the league average, and their defense is just okay. So they're starting to kind of show a little bit. They're 13-11. They're still the 5 seed in the East. I think they're going to be a team that makes the playoffs, but you know, they've been sliding a little bit more. Next up, we have the West, team from the West, Utah Jazz. For those of you who've listened to the past handful of episodes since the NBA season really started, I've been very skeptical of the Utah Jazz's hot start, and wondering if it was actually feasible for them to continue on that streak. So they're 4-6 in their last 10 games. They're 14-12. They're still the 9 seed right now, so they would still be in the play-in game, but I foresee them dropping out of the play-in tournament and probably playing a little bit more, even more realistic than what we saw early on in the season. Next up, we have the Dallas Mavericks. The Dallas Mavericks have definitely started, really turning it on. They're only 5-5 in their last 10 games, but Luka Doncic has really escalated his play. They've played really well at home. They're 10-3. Their problem is when they travel. They're 3-8. So that needs to be fixed. And if they fix that, they're going to be just fine. They're the 7th seed right now in the West, 13-11, tied with the Blazers. And lastly, the Philadelphia 76ers. They are also on my cold list. They're the 7th seed in the East. They're 12-12. They're 5-5 in their last 10. They just got James Harden back, so they're probably going to get off this list here come next week's episode. But for now, they haven't been playing as hot as they were just last week. So should be interesting to see how those cold teams try to turn it around. I think New Orleans is here to stay. We'll see if the Lakers and the Sacramento Kings can keep some momentum going into week 7. But for now, I'm going to give you my week 6 rankings. I'm going to tell you who's risen and who's falling. First up, number 1, we have the Boston Celtics staying at number 1. They've had 3 consecutive weeks at our number 1 ranking. Number 2, we have the Bucks. They've had the number 2 spot the last 3 weeks as well. Number 3, we have the Suns. This is their second week back-to-back that they are at number 3. Number 4, we have the Pelicans jumping into the picture out of nowhere. They weren't even in the rankings last week, so they jump in at number 4. Number 5, the Grizzlies rise from number 8 to number 5. They've been playing extremely well as well. Number 6, we have the Cavs. The Cavs fall from number 4 to number 6. They lost a couple games, so they're still up there. They're still a great team. No doubt, I think they'll be in the top, six teams, probably top 5 by the end of the season still. So I'm not too worried about them falling a couple spots here and there. But number 7, I have the Nuggets. They fall from number 5. They're a weird team still to me. I think Jamal Murray still is kind of figuring out how to come back from that injury, his role after being, out for so long. I think Michael Porter Jr. is still trying to figure out how to play with Jamal Murray as well when they're both a healthy. Jokic is going to obviously be a staple in that offense, but I think just, coercion is going to be a lot of their, how cohesive their roster can be throughout a season is going to be their main focus in staying, hot and staying in these power rankings. So number 8, I have the Sacramento Kings. They come out of nowhere and jump into the top 10. It might be a little bit premature to throw them in the top 10, but I think they're a good young team. I think they're exciting. Light the beam. That's all I can say. Light the beam, baby. Number 9, I have the 76ers. They fall from number 6. Like I said, they were one of my cold teams this week, so no surprise here. They only dropped 2 spots or 3 spots. So, don't freak out because I also did this. Number 10, the Blazers, they fall from number 9 to number 10. I think they fall one more spot, but I think we're going to bounce right back. We just got Dame back. He looked really good in his return game on Sunday. So I'm not too worried about the Blazers. I think we're going to turn it around and start winning again, just like we were when Dame was playing. So I wouldn't be surprised if we're back in the rankings, top 8 or 7 next week. So we play the Nuggets tomorrow night. That'll be a good game for Dame to, kind of get his feet under him. Hopefully Gary Payton comes back soon as well, and we can, get everything back on track. So that is it for NBA power rankings. I don't have anything else. Johnny Boy, do you have anything else? No? Okay. We're going to go right into NFL. And then we're going to, we got a lot to talk about there. So, Johnny.
NFL news.
All right. Week 13 just happened. We got week 14 coming up next. Week 13, though, let's review. Let's talk about some storylines. Let's recap. So, Odell Beckham Jr., he was at the Dallas Mavericks game this last week. He's been talking to a lot of Cowboys people. It seems like the Cowboys are the number one fit for him, or the number one suitor, if you will. They seem the most likely. The only worry is that they're still worried about his ACL after his initial physical that he just completed this last week. He also told Micah Parsons, star linebacker for the Cowboys, that he wouldn't be ready probably until the playoffs. So don't expect anything crazy here, you know, in the next few days. It's probably going to be in the next handful of weeks that we start, you know, really hearing anything of Odell signing officially with Dallas or with anybody. So that is that. Second piece of news is Baker Mayfield was waived by the Carolina Panthers after a tumultuous start where he was, you know, lost a handful of games, actually, got benched. They kept losing. They brought him back, you know, kept losing, and it just wasn't working out. It doesn't seem like it's going to work out anywhere he goes, but, you know, on that note, he gets claimed by the Los Angeles Rams. So Matthew Stafford is likely out for the year, and we're going to cover that in the injury report here for week 13 in a second. But Matthew Stafford likely out for the year. So thus them signing Baker Mayfield. Hopefully he can, you know, either spark something or show something that gives them hope maybe for, you know, anything next season. I don't know. You know, their season's pretty much done anyway. So I think they have like less than a 5% chance of making the playoffs at this point. That's it for like quick hitters, notable injuries. So let's go through the injury report for week 13. Jimmy Garoppolo out 7 to 8 weeks after injuring his foot, Sunday night. Sunday afternoon against the Dolphins. Man, what am I thinking? Against the Dolphins, he injures his foot. I believe he broke his foot pretty much. If not, it was a serious fracture or serious strain on the foot. So he is out 7 to 8 weeks. It is possible somehow that he could return for the playoffs, but Kyle Shanahan came out today and said that he believes that he will not most likely make it back for the playoffs. Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant in last year's draft, is now the man going forward for the 49ers. The good news is that they have a tremendous defense, one of the best defenses in the NFL. They still have Debo Samuel. They still have Christian McCaffrey. They still have Kittle and Ayuk. They have all these pieces. So if he can just be serviceable, then I think they should be okay. I don't know if they can win the Super Bowl. I don't even know if they can win the NFC, but they should be okay to get to the playoffs, win a game or two, see what happens. But I wish the best, and I'm sure Nubar does, maybe, for Jimmy G, as well as Trey Lance, obviously. We've already covered his injury early in the season, but man, tough injury season for the 49ers. Elijah Mitchell just last week being listed out for the season. So we'll see where that team lands to end the season, but hopefully everybody's back, you know, healthy next year. So next up, the Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson was ruled out against the Broncos on Sunday after suffering a knee injury. He could be out 3 to 4 weeks with the injury that he sustained, but it is still undetermined. They haven't listed how long he's going to be out. It's looking like he's most likely a lock to be out this next weekend, which leaves Brent Hundley as the quarterback. Interesting injury for a guy who is very dependent on his mobility. You know, it's always a shame to see those types of injuries, but with quarterbacks who are very, very mobile, it's even more relevant. So we will watch closely to see how long he's out and if he looks 100% when he does come back. So this one I already kind of mentioned. Los Angeles Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford has a spinal cord contusion, which sounds messed up. There's a good chance he's done for the season. He's most likely going to be done for the season now that they claim Baker Mayfield. So, you know, sad times in LA. I don't really care. They're in the same division as the Seahawks, so whatever. And it's kind of funny that they won the Super Bowl. Now they suck this year. So, you know, if I were the Rams and I were Sean McVay and I were their front office, I'd be saying the same thing. I'd probably just say, hey, Matthew, just sit out the rest of the year, dude. Just like get right. Let's come back next year, you know, better, healthy, and try to like turn, you know, turn a new leaf and see if we can absolutely eliminate what happened this season. So, yeah. Also, news today that came out Wednesday the 7th, as in, or when I say today, after stating that he believed he could return this season in an injury that he experienced, I believe, last weekend, Von Miller had surgery on his ACL today and is now out for the season. Like I said, after thinking that he could return sometime near the playoffs, he is now officially done for the year. He will be back next year. You know, I hope the Bills go win the Super Bowl, man. I really do, for multiple reasons. Josh Allen's a great quarterback. I think he's a good young guy. I think he deserves to go win one. I think the Bills have gotten, I think the Bills have had their chances, yes, but I just think sometimes they've either gotten screwed over or they're just so close. I think this is the year they turn the page and get there. I hope they get it done. And also now for Von Miller's sake, I hope that he can, you know, he's a guy who pours his heart and soul into the game, and I hope he can go, you know, at least get a ring for, you know, his contributions this season to Buffalo. There will be no Guess the Stat Line game this week. Unfortunately, I was looking forward to week two of that game because I just destroyed Newbar's tricks for me last week. But next week, I'm sure he'll be back with some more stats, and I will try to guess those players. I hope he tries to trick me up, and I'll try to see if I can be perfect again for you guys. Continuing on to our prediction results for last week, week 13. I went 10 for 15 and Newbar went 7 for 15. And you guessed it, we're all tied up going into week 14. 114 out of 195 picks. That's our ratio for both Newbar and I, which isn't too terrible. 58%, you know, it could be better. But, you know, for two jabronis, I think we're doing pretty well. And I'm only happy that I just tied it up with Newbar because I thought I was going to start getting destroyed here for a little bit. So continuing on, here we go. We're going to get right into week 14 picks. And that's our episode. It is a really quick one. I don't know if I was talking really fast or, you know, Newbar's probably going to listen to this episode now. And he's going to be like, dude, you were talking so fast. But I'm not going to re-record it. And I'm already, we're on a roll. I feel like you guys have been able to follow me easy enough. All right, so here we go. Thursday night football, tomorrow night on the 8th, December 8th, we have the Rams against the Raiders. I'm going to take the Raiders, and so is Newbar. Next up, we have the Vikings against the Lions. Newbar has the Vikings. I'm very interested in the Lions. I think they are favored. They're favored by 2.5. It's very enticing to take them to upset the Vikings, but I'm also going to take Skull Vikes. Next up, we have the Steelers against the Ravens. Newbar is taking the Steelers. Even with Brett Hundley, I think the Ravens get it done. I think that he's good enough of a backup quarterback. I think he gets it done. And wins it for Baltimore. So I have to think that their run game, I have to think that, you know, their defense is going to have to hold them up. So I have belief, I guess, this time around. Next up, we go Browns against the Bengals. I'm going to go Bengals. So is Newbar. Next up, we have the Bills against the Jets. I'm going to say Bills. Next game we have is the Cowboys against the Texans. This is an easy one. That's the Cowboys. Next up, we have the Eagles against the Giants. I'm going to say the Eagles. We have the Titans against the Jaguars. I have the Titans. We have the Titans against the Jaguars. Newbar has the Titans, and so do I. Newbar also had the Eagles. Next up, we have the Chiefs against the Broncos. This is probably going to be an ugly game because the Broncos defense is good, but no one is good on their offense. And I just foresee this being an ugly game, but I'm going to go Chiefs. Next up, we have the Seahawks against the Panthers. I'm going to go Hawks. So is Nubar. 49ers against the Buccaneers. I'm going to say Nubar's going to say 49ers. Oh, man, this is tough. Where's this game being played at? Oh, it's in San Fran. I'm going to go 49ers. Yeah, I got it. I got to take the home team there. If it was in Tampa Bay, things would be different, but it is not. Next up, we got the Dolphins against the Chargers. I'm going to go Dolphins. So is Nubar. And then finally, Monday Night Football, Cardinals, Patriots. I'm going to go ahead and say Patriots. Nubar says Cardinals. So we differ there. But should be a very interesting week of football. I think the Raiders are on a nice little hot streak here, but I think they need to keep it going and win a game against a very beatable Rams team, and that'll put them at 6-7. I think, which keeps their hopes alive for some wild card spot maybe. You know, the Seahawks, I think this is a good test for them. A great test for them. You know, I think it was a good test last week with Los Angeles, just like it is for the Raiders, a very beatable Rams team that you need to beat if you're going to be in a playoff team. And the Seahawks did just that. So Panthers, same type of deal, 4-8. They need to, they need to flex their muscle and show that, hey, you know, we're a playoff team and you guys are not. And you know, we're going to win this game. So Jets, Bills, I think that'll be a tremendous game. I know Buffalo's a 9.5-point favorite, but I think even with the offensive struggles that the New York Jets could have, I think their defense is going to keep them in the game. I think Buffalo's defense is going to play very, very well. I think it's going to come down to, can the Jets defense stop Josh Allen and that offense? If they can, it'll be really close. If they can't, I think it'll be a blowout. Browns, Bengals, be interesting. Just continuation of Deshaun Watson being back. Can he come out and be himself, or is he going to take some more time to try to shake the rust off of a year and a half, 2 years of not playing football? Cowboys are going to destroy the Texans. That's not even a question. They're 16.5-point favorites. That Vikings Lions game is going to be very interesting. Like I said before, I would not be surprised if the Lions beat the Vikings and upset them. They've been playing very well. They're 5-7, but I just think the Vikings have been finding ways to win, and that's what the great teams do. They're 10-2. I mean, that's just how you do it. So should be interesting there as well. Titans-Jaguars, that game's ugly. I think the Titans are going to win, but no one's going to watch that game. Eagles-Giants should be good. Giants are coming off a tie against the Commanders, which sucks. I hate ties, but I think the Eagles win this game. It should be a good game, though. Ravens-Steelers, like I said before, I think Brett Hundley gets it done. Does just enough to win that game. I think the Chiefs beat the Broncos in what's going to be an ugly game. They're 9.5-point favorites, but I think they cover, but I still think it's going to be a defensive ugly game. Buccaneers 49ers. Don't be surprised if the Buccaneers win this game, but I think, like I said, the 49ers win because they're at home. They're 3.5-point favorites because of that, I think, even with Brock Purdy starting. Dolphins Chargers. I just don't think the Chargers have it this year. 6-6, but still, I think they just play terrible games, and then they just randomly they'll play a game against a good opponent, and they'll show out, but they'll either still lose or they'll barely win, and people are so high and mighty, and they'll go lose to like the Jaguars the next game. It just, you know, it doesn't make any sense. So for that reason, I'm gonna say the Dolphins get back on track this week, and then Monday Night Football, I think the Patriots are just a better team than the Cardinals. I don't know what's going on in Arizona with Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray and all those guys, but I think the Patriots are just so much better. I think they're a better team than the Cardinals are. You could probably already tell that I didn't really go through the Week 13 scoreboard, any big stories. I could real quick for you. A lot of them are just, you know, based off of, a lot of them are just covered through like the injuries that I told. But you know, the Bills beat the Patriots last Thursday in Thursday Night Football. I already told you the Seahawks beat the Rams. The Steelers won barely in Atlanta. The Packers went into Chicago, and Aaron Rodgers owned the Bears again, and he saluted all the fans, so that was pretty cool. The Vikings came back and beat the Jets. I thought the Jets were going to win that game. I just told you the Commanders and the Giants tied, which is so stupid. The Eagles destroyed the Titans. Lamar Jackson got hurt in that Broncos game, and there were no touchdowns. The final score was 10-9, so that's all I'm going to say about that game. That game sucked. Deshaun Watson came back and played his revenge game against Houston and won 27-14. He looked okay, but like I said, should be interesting to see how he plays in week two. 49ers destroyed Miami in San Francisco, even without Jimmy G after he gets hurt in the first quarter. So, you know, is this a Dolphins fluke? Is this San Francisco flexing their muscle? Should be interesting to see there what happens, you know, and which one actually rings true. Bengals-Chiefs was the game of the week. Bengals beat Kansas City in Cincinnati. And Joe Burrow now won three straight matchups against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Very interesting matchup to watch going into the AFC playoffs this year. If those teams match up, it seems like Cincinnati has them figured out. So can Patrick Mahomes, can Andy Reid, can Kansas City figure out how to get it done against Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals? The Raiders beat the Chargers. This is exactly what I was just alluding to when I talked about the Chargers matchup this next week. They just lose games they shouldn't lose. They should not have lost to the Raiders. Okay, I told you the Raiders were on a roll, but the Chargers should not lose to the Raiders. It's just plain and simple. And they do. So the Raiders are on a roll. I'm not taking anything away from them. I think they still look good. But the Chargers, I think, are the better team, and I think they should have won this game, and they didn't. So Cowboys hang a 54 spot on the Colts. The Colts suck. 54-19. I'm not even going to say anything else about that. And then Monday Night Football, the Buccaneers beat the Saints at the buzzer. Tom Brady throws a touchdown pass to Rashad White, and they continue to look very mediocre. They probably should have lost this game to New Orleans. And, yeah, people are saying, oh, Tampa Bay wins and Tom Brady figures out a way to win for them, and this is them, you know, finally gonna turn it around and start winning. It's like, no, they're not. They almost lost to that team. If they lost, we'd be talking about how bad they are, and they should have lost. So, yeah, should be interesting to see what happens to them this next week against San Francisco. A very beatable, I think, San Francisco with Brock Purdy at the helm. But again, I don't think Tampa Bay is good, so we'll find out if they can actually pull it out. But I don't know. I just think Tom Brady is I think he's starting to show some wear and tear, and we might see some of that this next weekend. So, yeah. With that, that's episode 71 of our little podcast we like to call Second Half Sports. It was just me and Johnny Boy this week. No Newbar. He's gone for a work trip. Like I said, next week he'll be back better and badder than ever. Yeah, follow us on Instagram at Second Half Sports Pod if you want to see some clips of episodes, if you want to see our picks, if you want to see stuff that we have coming up, stuff that's already happened. You know, go subscribe to us on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, we're on there. Just go subscribe. Leave us comments if you like us, hate us, or, you know, you just have questions or comments about us or Johnny Boy. Go ahead and just go subscribe and leave a comment. We'll get right on that. Other than that, this has been Second Half Sports, episode 71. Johnny Boy and I are out. We're going to go get some food. But you know what we're going to do? Drive safe. Gotta
love it, baby. Thank you for listening to the Second Half Sports Podcast. Make sure to subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts today. And check out at Second Half Sports Pod on Instagram for all your Second Half Sports news and updates.